And we are back for the Oscar Rewind podcast, where we're here to break down all of the Oscar nominated films for each Oscar year to really decide what the best films the Academy has to offer. And so to help me break all this down and to break down the two nominated films that we just watched for the 1990 Oscar year is Andrea Tennis. How are you doing this week?
I am doing okay. I would love to tell you I'm doing great, but we had a very upsetting day, so this hasn't been super wonderful.
Yeah, you know, it's just the times of 2020. COVID has made it hard for us to visit our family who lives in another province, so it just makes it difficult. So I get the struggles, Andrea. I get the struggles. But at least we watched better films, right? Is this a bit of an upside here? Last podcast discussion, we discussed Field of Dreams and Born on the 4th of July, which we were both pretty low on for the most part. And now I think we have two much stronger films here. We just watched Dead Poets Society, and by just, we watched that one about a week or so ago. And we just watched My Left Foot. So, Andrew, what was your thoughts on these two films?
Yeah, these two films were a lot stronger. They were really good. I honestly can't say I disliked either of them in like the least. You had Dead Poets Society, which had Robin Williams, which was fantastic, like always. I loved him. He did such a great performance and his character was very well elevated. And then you have My Left Foot, which starred Daniel Day-Lewis, which new respect for. I've never seen this actor before, but I absolutely loved this performance. And I honestly cried probably way over half of the film. Like, just the littlest thing set me off.
Which, you know, isn't that big of a deal because the film's pretty short, so.
Yeah, I guess it is only like 90 minutes, isn't it?
Yep, it's about that. About an hour and 40, so. It's a pretty short film. These two were a much bigger, these two left a much bigger impact with me compared to the first two films. I was going into Dead Poets Society thinking to myself, man, 1990 is a pretty big stinker here, but these two really helped elevate the films in my mind. I really liked both of them. I will say I thought I would like Dead Poets Society more. I thought it was going to be similar to Good Will Hunting as like Robin Williams' best performance, and he's great in this film, and we'll definitely break it down here. But I do gotta say, I think I prefer him in Good Will Hunting. I think his character with his dead wife and all that, I think that's a lot more emotional for me. I don't know, maybe I'm just not into poetry. But this was still two great films. And yeah, these two really flew by. Even if Dead Poets Society was about the same length as Field of Dreams, it didn't feel like it. It felt like it was a lot shorter. And they both were way shorter than Born on the 4th of July. So, you know, yeah, a lot better here. So we can go with the first film that we watched, which was Dead Poets Society. It was nominated for Best Picture. It was nominated for Lead Actor for Robin Williams, of course. It was nominated for Directing, and it won Original Screenplay.
Wow. I'm not surprised. It was great.
No, I think all three of these seem about right. I liked the directing. It deserved the nomination. I liked the lead actor. It deserved the lead actor nomination. And it was one of my favorite films of the year, so it deserves the Best Picture nomination. And it doesn't deserve to win any of them. So I think it's perfect where it's at. As for screenplay, I actually do like the story. And I do think a lot of the callbacks, I think a lot of like the pacing with the story is really well done. Might be my favorite screenplay of the year, actually. I really liked it. So I agree with all of the decisions the Academy made with this film, which, you know, is rare. I tend to disagree a lot. But I thought they killed it with this. I agree. I think the lead actor, Robin Williams, we can get to that first. The lead actor from Robin Williams is great. The story is set up as this teacher who ends up kind of teaching this class about poetry, and he does it in a more unconventional way. What was that? I was saying this film was a lot like, what was the movie? Oh, I was telling Andrea that, conveniently enough, this film didn't win Best Picture, and I think it didn't win Best Picture because it was a lot like Going My Way. And maybe the Academy didn't want to have two almost identical stories, because to me, they were very similar, where Robin Williams is the new teacher, and he has kind of unique methods to kind of bring this teaching style to children, where instead of just reading poetry like most English teachers would do, he has more of an unconventional way of really bonding with them, because poetry is an emotional bond to you and the paperwork and you expressing yourself. And for you to actually create poetry and express yourself, you have to feel close to the people you're doing poetry with. It's a very emotional moment for you to like really express yourself, and that's what poetry is. And so he plays sports with them. He makes them feel like they're a team. They learn about the Dead Poets Society, and they start becoming the new generation of dead poets. And so I think it is really interesting how it has the same beats as Going My Way, where the new minister comes in. He's teaching the kids about singing and joining a chorus, a choir. And the other people that are part of this religion, they kind of frown upon him. Oh, his methods are weird. They're not normal. And that's kind of the same thing we get here, where a lot of the, where the schooling system is frowning upon Robin Williams. They kind of see him as the enemy here. He's teaching the students an unconventional way. And so I do think they're very identical, which, a little caveat, this one's a lot better than Going My Way. I need to add that.
A lot better. Yeah.
So did you see the similarities, or do you think this film's more than what I'm saying it is?
No, there were a lot of similarities, and I completely agree with you on that.
And I said it has to affect the voting. It probably didn't. For us, it seems very similar, but at the same time, Going My Way was from 1945, yeah. And it's from the 1990s, so it was a good, what would it be, 40 years or so difference?
Stretch of time between it.
Right. But I do think the Academy does have that mindset, because ironically enough, this is the year where Driving Miss Daisy wins and Green Book wins, which has the exact same story foundation.
Very similar.
A couple decades later. So I do think, you know, if the Academy's vote for the exact same style of film, people kind of judge that decision. I'm not saying this affected the vote with Dead Poets Society, but you know, I like to think that's why it didn't win, because I do think this should have been a bigger contender than what it really was. It didn't get that many nominations, and it wouldn't be my pick of the year, but I do think it's great. I do really like Dead Poets Society, and it's definitely a classic. I know a lot of friends that watch the film. It's a pretty well-known film. I think it's because it's one of Robin Williams' best, and he's a well-known actor. I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
On Letterboxd, I know it seems like there's quite a bit of hype about Dead Poets Society, and just me kind of reading through the comments, I was super excited about watching it as well. And also, like you said, Robin Williams, you know, was a great actor, and I enjoy quite a few of his other films, so I was pumped to see him in this, especially after we watched Good Will Hunting. I love that film.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the Letterboxd scores for all five films that were nominated, but something tells me that these two that we're discussing are the two highest scored films on Letterboxd. I think Dead Poets Society and My Left Foot are kind of the ones that have aged the best, and maybe that's because Driving Miss Daisy is kind of the lesser version of Green Book. I think Green Book's just the superior version, and I don't really like Field of Dreams or Born on the 4th of July. I think Born on the 4th of July has not aged well with its mentality of war. And Field of Dreams, I'm just not a big fan of, but that one probably has aged better than 4th of July and Driving Miss Daisy. I feel like people still remember Field of Dreams being good, but these two are remembered for being good, and they are good. These two are really great. Dead Poets Society has a really great story where the teacher's teaching these kids in a very unconventional way about poetry and expressing themselves. And it's about these guys who eventually kind of open up and become these poets. They kind of grow with this love of poetry. And the ending really is the best part, where one of the students, or one of the dead poets in the Dead Poets Society, he loved doing poetry, and he also loved acting. He kind of started having a love for the arts, And so a little bit of a spoiler here if you guys want to skip ahead here, but the big moment of the film and the best part in my mind is when his dad tells him that he's not to do that. He's going to kick him out of the school and take him to a different school to learn to be a doctor like his father and kind of go into that field of medicine. And art is for children. You'll never succeed in art. That's not your passion. I know your passion. You don't. And it's this sad moment where the kid just didn't want to live anymore. He didn't want to be dragged off to he didn't want to be dragged off to become a doctor. He didn't want to follow his path of his father. He wanted to be himself. And because he wasn't given that opportunity, he ended up killing himself one night. Which the editing, the score is really intense during that scene. Mm-hmm. I thought the pacing of it was perfect. Like, no beat was missed during it. The entire time, you know what's going to happen, and each moment you're just dreading it. It's great.
Yeah, and the father from the get-go of this film is just awful. He's literally controlling everything his son does. And there's even a one point in the beginning where he's like, you're in too many extra activities. You have to drop this. And he's like, but I'm going to be like on the varsity. And his dad's like, I literally don't care. He is an awful person. And it's really sad to see that it came to that point where his father was just telling him exactly what to do, that he'd rather die than live with what his father was telling him to do. I mean, it was awful. I wasn't surprised just because, you know, kind of like at the name of the film, and it kind of hints at what's going to happen.
Yeah, I do think the fact that it's called Dead Poets Society, and the name of it is because that's the name of the group of poets that are doing poetry. So obviously that's the original meaning for it, but it does make you think the entire time, is somebody going to die? If it's similar to Chekhov's gun, where if you see a gun in the film, later on in the film, someone's going to get shot with the gun. Similar to that, if a film has the name Dead in it, I think that means somebody has to die, right? Like, the whole time, even though the film never gave you that vibe of death, you just had that inkling in the back of your mind going, I think someone's going to die. Someone has to.
Yeah, because the whole time during this film, you know, you're seeing Robin Williams teach these kids, and not once do they really talk about drugs, violence, drugs, anything you would relate to, like, a gun shooting or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you see a gun, and it's like, wow, something bad's going to happen here.
Yeah, so he kills himself, and you think the ending is going to be turning on the father. The father's this horrible person. The others are going to kind of rebel against him, and he's really going to regret the decision he made. But instead, they put all the blame towards Robin Williams' character, because he's the teacher that gave the child hope, that gave the child this thinking process that he should be an artist and he should act and he should do all these ridiculous things. And so the school fires Robin Williams to kind of save face, because that, you know, the school is going to take a lot of repercussion for a student shooting themselves. And so they blame the teacher, they fire him, and that's really how the film ends. There really isn't no happy ending. Obviously, it still leaves with a smile on your face with all the students kind of letting Robin Williams know that they love him, but, you know, it does end with him getting fired. It's not a happy film. One kid dies, Robin's career is over. Like, it's not a happy movie, but at the end, you still feel happy. It's weird how that works out.
Well, I was going to say, you know, there kind of is one happy storyline in all of this, which was probably one of my favorite parts. There's another character, which is a little bit of an uplifting story in all of this depressingness. Ethan Hawke, a very young Ethan Hawke, he doesn't believe in himself. He's very down on himself, and he's always second-guessing himself. But within the story, Robin Williams kind of teaches him to believe in himself. That's probably one of the best parts for me, because then at the end, whenever he is getting fired and he goes into the classroom to get his stuff for the last time, Ethan Hawke's the one that stands up on his desk and he is like, my captain, oh captain. And then the principal's like losing his shit at this point. And then the rest of the boys follow him, and it was a very nice ending. Like you said, it made you feel really good about everything.
Yeah, the captain, oh captain's kind of the happy moments during all this sadness that we get with the story. And it is funny how you said that the principal was getting angry and everyone was standing up. A very similar ending to the 2020 movie Trial of the Chicago 7, where the judge is getting angry and everyone's standing up. I guess that's kind of just a cliche happy ending, is everybody kind of rebelling against the bad guy. Dead Poets Society is a good film. One I might check out every now and then. It's a good movie.
I think it would be okay on a rewatch.
All right, so we can move on to the other film that we have to discuss here, and that is My Left Foot. This one was nominated for Best Picture as well, obviously. It was also nominated for Directing. It was nominated for Adaptive Screenplay. And this film won for Lead Actor for Daniel Day-Lewis, and it won for Supporting Actress for Brenda Fricker. So it got two acting wins here. And I know Andrew agrees with me here because she's been talking about these two performances during and after the film, but I think these are two well-deserved wins. My Left Foot, for anybody that hasn't seen the film, is about Daniel Day-Lewis's character, who is handicapped and kind of just disabled in a way where he can't even control his own body. His body is kind of just unmovable, or it's just constantly shaking, and he's just unable to really control his own actions. And because of this, the only part of his body that can move and react normal is his left foot. And so we kind of get this Forrest Gump-esque, Benjamin Button-esque story of this character that Daniel plays slowly growing up through this disability. Kind of like Forrest Gump, where he also had a disability, and we kind of walk through his life. But I think the best part about this compared to Forrest Gump and Benjamin Button is we take this journey through this guy's story in a very short time, which I think is different in this kind of film. I feel like they really drag those journey stories out of an individual character. And for this one, it's only an hour and 40 minutes. It's about half the length of Benjamin Button. And I feel like we just effectively go through this whole guy's life. Like, we get his struggle. We get the hardships of this character. And it's crazy. This story really is impressive. It's an adapted screenplay, so I believe it's based off of a book. But I am curious if it's like based somewhat on real life, because the story is really captivating, where this character Daniel Day-Lewis plays is very poor. They can't even afford a wheelchair for him. He's carried around on a wheelbarrow for most of the film. And he's got tons of siblings who all kind of look out for him. He's barely able to speak, just because it's not his left foot. So he's kind of just shaking and murmuring during his entire time. And I just think it does make the film become really powerful. It's a message about how fortunate we all are to have more than just our left foot, really. We have our whole bodies to do everything we want. And I just think it's a pretty empowering film. I know Andrew really liked it.
Yeah, this definitely, in my opinion, was just a little bit better than Dead Poets Society. I really like the stories like this where the character slowly grows. And, you know, it starts where it has flashbacks. The flashbacks take you back to all the way when he was born. And Quentin already brought up the fact that this family is excessively poor. Like, they're so poor. They probably had like 10 children, and they just kept having kids after him, even though they had a child with a disability.
You want to know why? They're so poor they can't even afford condoms. That's how poor they are.
Wow.
I know, crazy.
Wow. And the mother, my favorite part was the mother and son relationship that they had. She never gave up on him. She was always there for him. Whereas the father, early in life, he said some really, like, about he was stupid, he was dumb, he'll never understand anything. And I just loved that Daniel Day-Lewis's character completely proved his father wrong. Like, he really succeeded in no way that anyone even thought he ever would.
Yeah, I obviously don't like the father because he's a massive dick, but I will say that I actually liked the father's character arc, where he is horrendously evil at the beginning, and he's kind of the foil to our heroes. He's like the antagonist of Daniel Day-Lewis at the beginning. He's definitely the bad guy at first, but you slowly see his progression into loving his son and understanding how important he is to him. And it doesn't feel cheap Like, it doesn't feel cheesy in any way. It's not like a... it's not like Field of Dreams, where the guy that wants to buy the baseball diamond suddenly goes, you know what? I take it back. Never sell this baseball diamond ever in your life. I am 100% changing my mind. He doesn't change his mind in a flip of a dime. He definitely has this slow progression. And even at the end, he's not heroic. He has this really great moment before, spoiler, he dies. He has a really nice moment with his son, but it doesn't feel like he loves his son all of a sudden. He just suddenly kind of understood him. And I like that progression. He isn't suddenly this hero. He's a slowly changed individual.
And even in that scene, the mother kind of looks at her son and she goes, that's the closest he's ever going to say I love you to you. Then, like, mean it. I thought that was really interesting that, you know, the mom could even point that out to her son.
Yeah, like, that was the peak of him ever loving you. So yeah, enjoy it. Yeah. Which, exactly, I like the slow progression. I like complex people. I don't like one-dimensional characters. And ironically enough, as much as I love how complex the father was, I do think one of my biggest issues with the film is just how one-dimensional Daniel Day-Lewis's character is. Like, he's so poor, and he's so handicapped, and he's just so sad and heroic. Like, it kind of made him a little too perfect. I think one of my favorite scenes with him was when they stole some coal, and it kind of showed you that he doesn't really realize right from wrong, and I kind of wish they leaned more into that sometimes. But overall, I really did love the film, and I really did love the performances. We didn't say too much about the mother yet, but she was great, and kind of the foil to the father, she was so sweet, and she really cared about Daniel Day-Lewis's character. It was the best part of the film, the two of them and their bond together. Mm-hmm. It was really sweet, and I think my favorite moment is when she was saving all the money for the wheelchair.
Yeah, and it falls into the fire. So she's keeping it above the fireplace, and the coal they stole that they weren't supposed to bring inside, they had decided to light up, and the tin fell into the fire, and the mom literally goes in, and she burns her hands really bad just to get the tin out of the fire.
Yeah, because inside the tin is all this money she's been saving up to get Daniel Day-Lewis an actual wheelchair. So, you know, he's not in a wheelbarrow for his whole life. And this is a family that is living off of scraps. This is a family that has barely anything. And so she's giving the family even less food. She's starving herself and the rest of the family just to slowly get enough money for her son to actually have a wheelchair. And I think that's really powerful. That's the kind of stuff I really like.
Another big part in the film was, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis's character, he's always listening, even though he can't do much. And his sister asked him, like, some kind of question. It's a math problem, and he actually solves the math problem. And then later, I can't remember why, but he writes the word mother in chalk with his left foot. And I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, probably my least favorite part of the film, actually, is I hate feet. I have, like, a anti-foot fetish. It grosses me out. And so I had too much feet in this film. I wish it was called My Left Hand. That would have been a lot better for me. Because my left foot, that was too many close-up shots of feet, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This does take the same style, as we've already said, of Benjamin Button and Forrest Gump, really to the T, because it starts off with the future, Daniel Day-Lewis all cleaned up, ready to go, as they slowly read this book. You know, Benjamin Button was reading letters. Forrest Gump was him on a park bench telling people about his story. And this one is reading a book. So we're changing the format of the storytelling. But it is the same concept where it's kind of looking back at segments of the life. And it's a format that is used a lot, but it's a format that works. I think this is a format that works well for a character study of somebody like Forrest Gump, Benjamin Button, and I don't know what Daniel Day-Lewis's character is. They should have thrown his name on the title, because Forrest Gump, Benjamin Button, they're the title of the film. I can remember that. But Daniel Day-Lewis, we'll just go off of that. His character kind of fits the same format, where we really get a deep dive into his character. And I really like it. Do you have a favorite scene from this film?
I think one of my favorite scenes is, I believe it's right after Daniel Day-Lewis's character, he went out and he got really drunk, and the woman he loves tells him that she is marrying another man. And the next morning, he is really upset. He's hungover. And then out of nowhere, you know, the mother wants to cheer him up, and she's like, what would cheer him up? And she literally goes outside and she starts getting a brick and mud, and she decides she's gonna build him a room. This lady that loves her son so much, she's like, he just needs somewhere to do his art all by himself. And I love it. It was very sweet. And then the whole family comes home and they kind of all get into it, because the father and the brothers are actually bricklayers. So they actually know how to do it correctly. I don't know. I just thought that was a really heartfelt moment.
Yeah, that would have been the same scene I was going to say. Yeah, the house building, the room building scene. I like that.
Wow, I
have a theory here, Andrew, as to why I think this film has aged well over time. Unlike most of these other films, I think I know why this one has aged very well.
Why?
And I think it's because when people watch this in movie theaters, they might not have liked it as much because they had no idea what Daniel Day-Lewis was saying.
Oh.
And I think now that the years have gone by and it's not in a movie theater anymore, you can watch it from home and put on subtitles, I think we now have the privilege of actually knowing what the film's about. Because the first half, I was a little confused as to what Daniel Day-Lewis was actually saying. I really relied on his mother for support on the story here.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, I went, wait a second. I could put on subtitles. I could actually hear what Daniel Day-Lewis is saying now. And the last half got a lot better because I knew what he was saying. So that's my theory. I think when you watch in a movie theater and you don't have subtitles at all, I think people were a little confused at what was going on. I think the Oscar voters were like, well, he's really good, we'll give him an Oscar. But I don't even know if the screenplay is good. We can't give that a win. I don't even know what he said. I think there's a lot of that going on with the Academy back in 1990.
Yeah, because especially when he's drinking, he's like slurring his words. Plus, he's already hard to understand anyway. So you're probably onto something there. They probably didn't understand.
Yeah, I think that's why it's aged well. I think subtitles have really helped this film become much more beloved. Both of these films were nominated for lead actor. Robin Williams was nominated and lost, while Daniel Day-Lewis was nominated and won for lead actor. What was your thoughts on both of the actors here?
Yeah, I would have gave it to Daniel Day-Lewis. I love Robin Williams, like, respect to him. He was amazing, and he did a really great job, but Daniel Day-Lewis, really, like, this character was a hard one to pull off. He, you know, he had to have a disability, and he had to stay with it the whole time, like, completely 100% in character, and I don't know. I think he did a great job.
No, I'm with you. Loved both of the actors here. Probably my two favorites so far for this year. But you know, I agree. You got to give this one to Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't think it's close. I would dare to say that of all 3 years that we've been discussing all the nominated films, we've seen a lot of great acting from all 3 years here. But I think this is the best acting role we've seen so far. This was beyond phenomenal. And if you guys haven't seen My Left Foot, even just watch a few clips of this performance. It is really great. And we also have a supporting actress win for Brenda Fricker here. What was your thoughts on this?
That makes me really happy. She was literally so good in this film. I was really shocked to kind of see this was her best ever performance in this film. You know, she had some small things here and there, but she was amazing. She really does fit the supporting mother role. And I think the two characters really worked well with each other. And that's something that made this film work, just how well they kind of vibed off each other.
No, I agree. I think Brenda Fricker was amazing once again. I really liked her character. And I really thought she also carried the film. Obviously not as meaty of a performance as Daniel Day-Lewis, but I do think Brenda really helped make this film as emotional as it was. I feel like she was a lot of the emotion behind the bond between her and Daniel. So I really liked her. Now, both films were nominated and both films lost for directing. So what was your thoughts on the directing for these films?
I like the directing for both of them. I don't know what won in place, but I don't know. They both did really well directing to me. There were things I just loved about both of them.
No, I liked the directing for both. Both worthy nominations here. It's hard to really know which one I preferred, but I think just both films being so great and really both standing the test of time, I feel like they have both aged the best. I do think it's a testament to the directing. Once again, My Left Foot could have easily been a 3-hour drag, a 3-hour film, like a lot of these other biopic style like films, like Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I feel like they could have dragged it, but they didn't. And I thought that was a great call, and I thought the pacing was great. So no, I was a big fan of the directing. So what about the screenplays, Andrea? Both were nominated for screenplay. Dead Poets Society actually won. So what do you think of these screenplays here?
I like them. I mean, they were both good. Both really thought out.
Nice insight. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks. It's really insightful, I know.
Yeah, I think Dead Poets Society had the better screenplay, which I guess is why it won. Both of them were great. Once again, the pacing for both were really good. I just think Dead Poets Society had a lot of more foreshadowing and a lot of great moments with great callbacks that made the ending, despite being so sad, feel so happy and hopeful. So I think the screenplay and just how the dialogue and the setup for the ending happened was a little better for me. But both of them were great, worthy nominations. So finally, Andrea, the storyboard here. Do you remember what we do here?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I forgot about we had to do this.
I think Andrea needs another coffee. She's just a little slow in the draw. But the storyboard, as you already know, is we got to give a little two-sentence pitch. You're in the elevator with somebody. You got to quickly give a pitch for this story to be a film here. What's your storyboard for Dead Poets Society?
Man takes teaching job for children, and man teaches poetry, ends badly. I'm kidding.
All right, mine would be Dead Poets Society. Society, because it's a group of them. Poets, because they like poetry, and dead, because one of them dies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, did you think of that beforehand?
Yeah, well, no. That was on the spot. I don't think of it until I get to this category, because I try to be even here, because I know you don't. So.
Oh,
yeah.
No, absolutely yeah. Not.
So I try to keep it on the same footing here. I was trying to think of more of like a poetry style story. That's kind of why I did that route.
Oh.
But My Left Foot.
All right. So for My Left Foot, a baby is born with a disability. And out of all odds, he still becomes famous through his left foot.
Nice.
Thanks.
Mine would be... Daniel's the right kind of guy with a left kind of foot. There you go. That's mine. Short and sweet.
Whoa.
Just like the movie. Nice and short. No dragging whatsoever. Even though Daniel does drag his right foot a lot. And the rest
he
of his body. Yeah.
His body.
Yeah, his body gets dragged a lot. But the film does not drag. That's a good thing.
But it was good because then he kicked that winning soccer goal.
That's right. Spoilers.
Whoa. Sorry. Yeah.
All right, so that is everything for these two films here. For Dead Poets Society, Andrew, we both have Letterboxd. You can follow us both. I'm Quentin Phillipson, and she is Andrea Lizard Emoji. Snowflake Emoji now.
I changed it.
She's Snowflake Emoji. That's
yeah,
right.
Snowflake
so,
now.
What a change. You can follow us on Letterboxd. But Andrea, what would you give Dead Poets Society out of 5 stars?
You know... In a way, I was a little bit like you. I kind of thought I would like it a little bit more, and I do like it. But I think I'm going to go with a 4-star.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was, I was thinking this was going to be a 4.5 going in, and I was hoping it could have even been a 5-star. I thought this was going to be on the same par as Good Will Hunting for me, but it wasn't. So I'm with you. It is a 4-star. It's still a great film. It's just a bit of a disappointment, but it's still a really solid film. I'll go for my left foot here. I think I'm still a little lower on this than you. I'm also going to give this a 4-star. I am closer to a 4.5. I am a bigger fan of My Left Foot over Dead Poets Society, but I'm still going to give this one a 4-star. I feel like they should have added another. I know we kept saying how quick it is. I think it's a little too quick. I kind of want to learn a little bit more about Daniel. I feel like he's a little too one-dimensional. I kind of want a little bit more of him.
What else did you want to learn? They did a good job.
I don't know. I'm curious what Andrew is going to give it. I think it, I don't know.
It is, honestly, in my opinion, the best one we've ever watched. I can't believe this didn't get Best Picture winner.
Wait, sorry, best film we've ever watched of every film?
Well, for in the Best Picture nominee section that we've watched for this.
For this year or for every film, every year we've discussed so far?
I mean, I think for every year we've discussed so far.
Oh, wow. So is this a 5-star?
Yeah, I'm going to give it 5 stars.
It's oh, amazing. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, we've only done 2 other years. It definitely was way better than 1929 or whatever year you picked.
1929?
Yeah, and then the other year we did.
You mean 1945?
Yeah, that year.
Nowhere near.
It was so good. I was literally, like I said, bawling for half of the film just because I love everything about it. And I love how they just pinpointed all these small moments in his life that made him the person that he is. And, you know, and you said that he didn't really show any emotion, but, like, he did. He also felt love. He thought he had love, and then he thought he lost it. So you completely see this guy with, like, this disability completely broken down. And I liked it. And then at the end, he still meets his future wife, and it was kind of a happy ending. Because I know I thought,
spoiler, if you want to stop, I thought that his mother was going to die the whole time. I thought that's what this was leading up to, and like it was going to be like really depressing at the end. But I was completely wrong, thank God, because I love his mother in it. So yeah, 5-star. 5-star for me.
Wow, I didn't realize this was your favorite of all time. I thought you still liked Gaslight and Black Swan more, but...
Oh, I forgot about Black Swan. Okay, wow. Well, Black Swan in this, definitely.
That's fair. I definitely prefer Black Swan over this one, but I do like this movie. But I'm pretty confident this is going to be our favorite film of the year. You know, if we ever... When we get to the ceremony, might be a little bit of a spoiler here, but... Yeah.
I love it. I love this just because I also really like, I don't know, movies that take you on journeys.
Yeah,
you
can Andrea.
See where the person was and where it's been. That's just kind of always been my genre.
Yeah, Andrea's always loved Forrest Gump and Benjamin Button. So
yeah.
This is kind of the Andrea style film.
My
you're right.
Area. Yeah. So just the fact that it made me cry more, I like to feel very connected to the characters.
Yeah, no, it worked. This is a good film. And. This might be my favorite of the three. I might actually like this more than Forrest Gump. I'll have to rewatch Forrest Gump, but I do like this film. Like, this is a close 4.5 for me. Like, I do like it. It is a great film. Yeah, I think I might like this more than Forrest Gump. I definitely like it more than Benjamin Button. So if you do watch those two films, if you like them, you'll love this. And even if you don't like those films, like, I don't really love those films, I do think you could like this one. This one is different enough. It's faster. The pace is great, and the performance is amazing. I think Daniel Day-Lewis killed it. This might be one of my favorite performances ever.
Yeah,
it is great.
I've never watched him as an actor before, but this definitely makes me think that I will like other things that he has done.
Yeah, this is my favorite performance we've ever seen so far for the Oscar Rewind podcast, and that's including Ingrid, who killed it in Gaslight.
Oh, I still love her too. Yeah. That was really good as
She's my second favorite performance so far. She was phenomenal. But Daniel Day-Lewis killed it. He was amazing. So big fan of that. We'll discuss their performances again when we do the ceremony in a few weeks. But for now, there we go. We can close that chapter.
Boom.
Boom. All right, anything else you want to say, Andrea, about either of these two films for now?
I think everyone should watch both of these films. They were so good, especially My Left Foot. I'm obviously a big fan, like I said, 20,000 times. But watch both of them. They're great.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Day-Lewis, he's still acting right now. He's still an actor to this day. He still likes to do some... He still does a bunch of performances, so maybe he will return for the sequel, My Right Foot.
He, like, automatically gets feeling in his right foot. Like, it switches from one foot to the other. And we see the last half of his life.
Yeah, he's older now. They can do it. It's the older version of him.
Dang.
All right, well... We'll hold our breath for that one. Until next time, guys. See ya.
Bye.